Welcome to FemTech at Work, the podcast where we explore the intersection of technology, health, and women's empowerment in the workplace, hosted by me, Maaike Steinebach. This show will dive into the innovative solutions transforming women's health and well-being in the workplace. Join us as we chat with FemTech founders, industry leaders, and change makers who are pioneering advancements in FemTech and women's health. We discuss everything: menstrual health, reproductive rights, menopause, but also the challenges women face in the workplace and how innovation can overcome them. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting your FemTech journey, FemTech at Work is here to inspire and inform you about the future of health and wellness for women everywhere. Tune in and be part of the conversation. Hi, and welcome to this episode of the podcast FemTech at Work with this week's very, very special guest from Singapore, Professor Dr. Clement Cha, who is the founder of Reborn. But you also have a lot of academic titles and pedigree. So welcome, Clement.
Thanks so much, Maaike, for having me on the podcast. I'm really excited to be here to share on Reborn, as well as to meet you and your audiences as well.
Yes. Maybe we'll just kick it off because I probably feel I don't do you justice with my introduction. So can you tell me a little bit about your background? And then maybe following from that, what inspired you to start Reborn?
So I'm a breast surgeon practicing in a public restructured hospital in Singapore.
Okay.
Right. I'm a part of this, one of three healthcare clusters in Singapore. So I'm from the NHG Health. So my practice is mainly in one of the public restructured hospitals. And what got me started this Reborn, which is a digital innovation for breast reconstruction, basically in women with breast cancer who require a mastectomy, which means to remove the cancer and the breast. Usually this is in the setting of patients with multifocal breast cancer, meaning more than one area of the breast with cancer, and hence a mastectomy is required. So as we all know, the breast is a very intimate, very sensitive, a very important organ for a lady.
Yeah.
And hence, removing the entire breast is a very major decision that they have to take in their lives. So reconstruction is often encouraged for women, for this group of patients. And reconstruction, there are many options, but in simple terms, it boils down to either using an implant.
Yeah.
Or shifting body fat and tissue from other parts of the body, such as that of the abdomen or the back, to the chest wall, where the original breast will be removed. So what I observed in my practice in public sector is that often the clinics are very busy, and I often wish to have more time to elaborate and to share more on the options, which I do try to spend more time deliberately. But even then, I feel that some of these options are very complex. And hence, patients often struggle to visualize and to understand, right, these options fully. And also, the other special thing about in Asia is that often decision-making when it comes to informed consent, it is very kind of like family-centric, meaning that patients may also ask the opinion of their family members. And some of the caregivers may not necessarily be able to make it down for the visits. So I feel that when they go back to share this information that they've gotten from the doctor to the rest of their family members, so sometimes this information can get quite confusing and it can get quite fabulous cognitive overload.
Yep.
So for Reborn, we are actually basically innovating in this space and using digital innovation to kind of help patients understand better and also help surgeons in the clinic cut down on their consultation time, not at the expense of understanding, but to be more efficient in explaining these options and to empower patients with the education and also the knowledge to make this important decision in their life.
Now, I'm sure you are a brilliant breast surgeon and an incredibly important work that you do. I have so many questions, but I guess you are not a technologist. So how did you go about putting together this app?
That's a great question. You're right. So my expertise is in breast surgery. So how did I come again, my collaborator? So essentially, in NHG Health, we are an academic health system. So meaning, in addition to clinical work, we are also very focused and place great emphasis on research and innovations because we know that this is how we can improve care and deliver better care for our patients. So what does an academic health system mean? So essentially, within our cluster of hospitals, we also have partnerships with universities, such as that of Lee Kong Chian School of Medicine, which is from Nanyang Technological University of Singapore, and also National University of Singapore as well. In addition, we are also a primary affiliation with NTU, and there are many like AI engineers, data scientists as well. So one of the other big part of the academic health system is that we also work with industry partners.
Yeah.
So for this Reborn digital application, I work with one of the software developers in the education industry. And we got a grant from Institute of Adult Learning, which is an education innovation grant. And so together with my partners from Lee Kong Chian School of Medicine, as well as my industry partner, Major Studio,
yep,
we came together to brainstorm on this solution. And eventually we came about to innovate this digital app together.
So you mentioned, obviously, that when you explain, like, we're going to take fat from your back or from your abdomen and tissue, and we're going to put it to your breast, I guess it's a little bit hard to imagine. So I had a quick look at the app and I see that you basically have a torso where you then show from which part you will take fat and tissue and where you would put it. Is it a visualization and an education that is more generic, or is it specific for every patient?
So it's actually a bit of both.
Okay.
The so-called generic part is the education, is the options. We also make use of this technology, augmented reality.
Ah, amazing.
Because we realize that the current kind of patient education materials that we have right now are mainly pamphlets and diagrams.
Yes.
Which are useful. But when it comes to complex anatomy and visualization, definitely animation and in the form of augmented reality. So that will be able to help patients learn better. In addition, like what I shared with you, what I also notice in my practice is I just have this amount of time with a patient in clinic because I have 20 other patients waiting to see me. So what I also realized was that often patients are actually waiting very long outside the consult room, waiting to see the doctor. And the longer when patients wait, some of them get quite frustrated, right? So I'm thinking, why not let's make use of this pain point to front load some information. So in the Reborn app, it actually has a mascot and the information is presented in a bite-sized format. So patients can actually use the app to look through and the mascot will guide them through the information and options.
Yeah.
So, and that makes use of the waiting time, right? So essentially, as though like my consultation is not limited to what I have in the consult room, but it's actually extended beyond the consult room. So that is the generic part when information is presented. What is personalized is that during the consult, when the surgeon explains the options and maybe explains some specific information to each patient, we can actually annotate on the app. And then this information on the app is actually screen recorded. And this piece of screen recording is then actually uploaded to the cloud, where the patient can then go home and lock in with a unique patient identifier.
Yeah.
Because with PDPA, you know, we don't want them to lock in with something that's unidentifiable. So they lock in with a unique identifier, and then they can revisit this screen recorded information that the surgeon has annotated and some of the animations that is specific to their condition in the comfort of their homes together with the caregivers, some of which weren't able to make it down in time on the day of the visit.
Yeah.
So this also kind of, in a way, reduce the need for repeat visits, because if, let's say, they can revisit the content in the comfort of their home, then they do not need to make repeated trips down to the clinic to seek repeated clarification with different members. So it is, in a way, cost saving as well for them.
Amazing. And what has the feedback been so far?
We are very happy to share that the feedback from patients, they have been giving excellent feedback and they are very satisfied with the app. So one of the things about innovation is we often have to think, how do we kind of validate the outcome, right? So initially, the way that I thought of validating the outcome was to do some form of a quiz to test whether patients know all the knowledge with regards to the surgery. But this form of validation, patients actually felt like, hey, you know, this is like an exam. I mean, the condition is really stressful, you know, we don't want to have an exam. So we changed it to more of a more personal, like what we call a qualitative interview. So it's like the very relaxed setting, and we just ask patients some questions about their experience using the app. And all of them them basically said that this app was very useful for their understanding. In fact, some of the more memorable feedback, I remembered one patient said that she was revisiting all this material at home on the website and on the cloud. And she said, oh, you know, the animations are beautifully constructed and this enabled her and the caregiver to revisit all this information. So she said she's very thankful for the innovators that have created this app, and they really understand how do patients feel and the kind of personalized care and education that is required for each patient. So she was very satisfied. And one of my other patients that was interviewed in one of the local news articles, she also used this Reborn app. And what she told the reporters was that the animation were very accurate in terms of the depiction of the length of the scar. So she said she saw the scar or the reconstruction. It's like the scar is from extends from this point of the abdomen to the other point. And when she woke up from general anesthesia, it was exactly like what the animation depicted. So she felt that it was very realistic and helpful for her mental preparation as well.
How has it been for you?
So for the doctors wise, even the plastic surgeons, initially prior to having this innovation, on average, we actually do a time pre-intervention time consultation. On average, it took about 50 minutes to do a thorough consultation for breast reconstruction. And after introducing this Reborn application, like I told you, prior to seeing the surgeon, patient already have a lot of knowledge and able to see all this information.
Yeah.
The time for consult actually reduced from 50 minutes to 30 minutes. And the surgeon also explained that they are also better able to focus on the areas that either the patient did not have time to complete reading up upon, or the patients are more interested. Because in the Reborn app, there is actually like a information page that will kind of inform the surgeon as to which are the chapters that the patient has had time to go through, and which is the option that the patient appears to be more interested in at the moment. So the surgeon then able to focus the consultation in the short time to kind of elaborate more on that option.
Yeah, and maybe a silly question, but no pressure for the surgeon to do exactly what the app told the patient you would do?
Yeah, so you're right. Every patient is different. So care should be personalized and customized. So in the app, we do have all the generic options. But as you rightly mentioned, every individual patient, you will still need to kind of customize and personalize the surgical option to each of them. So in a way, the surgeon does not need to follow strictly. And there are some technical aspects that need to be adjusted for each patient.
Yeah, I can imagine if you have like a scar that is this big and it ends up like this big, you're going to be happy. But if it ends up like this big, you'll be like, But I'm sure that is understood. It's more about the visualization. And I can also imagine that every surgery is different. So there may be a lot of things that you might even have to change during the surgery. How widely is the app available? Is it available for everybody in Singapore?
Yeah. So for us, we are kind of expanding its reach. Currently, it is being piloted across all three healthcare clusters in Singapore.
Okay.
So all our friends and our colleagues from the other public hospitals in Singapore, we have actually sent our industry partner down to reach out to them. And for those that have expressed interest, we have already went down to their hospital to help them to install the application so that they can use it to benefit their patients. So we are doing this in phases.
Yeah.
Because as you know, when it comes to technology implementation, we do need to kind of spend time and basically to prioritize your resources.
Yes.
And also implement it in a stepwise fashion. So as of now, I think the progress is very good. So in addition to introducing it to other hospitals in Singapore, we have also managed to translate it from English into Mandarin as well.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, in Singapore, it's a multilingual society, and many of our patients, some of them are actually Mandarin speaking as well. So we wanted to benefit more patients, and this has been translated to Mandarin.
Amazing. I know it's still early, but any plans to kind of roll this out in other areas in Asia?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we are also currently working with one of the implant distributor company. We are trying to discuss with them. I mean, they have expressed interest to partner us, and they have a presence in other Southeast Asian countries in the region as well. So potentially, if the partnership works out, they will be helping us to bring Reborn to other areas in Southeast Asia.
Amazing. Well, happy to help you bring it to Hong Kong if you need any contacts there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You'll be very happy to connect as well to our friends in Hong Kong.
Do you mind if we talk about breast cancer for a little bit? Because in Singapore, breast cancer is still the number one most common cancer in women. Is that correct?
Yes, you're absolutely right. So breast cancer is the most common cancer in women globally, and similarly in Singapore as well.
And actually, even though globally cardiovascular disease is still the number one killer of women, actually in Hong Kong, the number one reason why women die is because of breast cancer. So why do you think that is? Do we need to improve the screening? Do we need to improve awareness? Or is it just bad luck that women have?
You're right. Breast cancer has a significant disease burden globally. The fortunate thing is that many countries actually do have a national breast cancer screening program. And what we usually kind of encourage patients also in Singapore is to attend regular breast cancer screening.
Yeah.
Because mammogram and breast cancer screening has been shown to decrease mortality and has been shown to save lives.
Yeah.
And really the critical part is early detection. So for us, for myself, in October later this year, we are organizing Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Carnival in the public and outreach. And really the message to send home is that we really need to go for your regular breast cancer screening. And if you were to develop breast cancer, the stage that it is being detected at an early stage, it improves the survivor and the prognosis tremendously.
Yeah. So unfortunately, in Hong Kong, the screening rates are very low because women are very unhappy with the mammogram experience. So they may go once, find it very uncomfortable, and then they don't go again. So one of the things that we're also exploring kind of as this generic femtech community is what can we do to find an alternative for the mammogram or make it slightly more comfortable so that more women actually recognize that this is really, really necessary and not something they can skip. Are the screening rates in Singapore better? Do you feel women more comfortable in getting mammograms?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Unfortunately, even in Singapore, despite having a very well-funded and also heavily subsidized National Cancer Screening Program, our screening uptake rates are also suboptimal. In fact, the last statistics published was only about 40% uptake.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a lot more that we can do to kind of encourage women to come forward for breast cancer screening. So in Singapore, the government have this Healthier SG initiative whereby all eligible women age 50 and above are invited to come for breast cancer screening in the polyclinics. And this is fully subsidized. It's free for the patient to come for their screening mammogram.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, but you're right. Some of the issues with regards to the mammogram being uncomfortable and painful mainly is from the compression. Right. And the reason for the compression of the breast during a mammogram so that it can be the X-ray beams can better penetrate and can better visualize the breast tissue for any abnormalities. So there are some simple tips and strategies which my radiographers colleagues usually share during some of our outreach campaigns. So number one is like prior to the mammogram, you can take some simple analgesia like paracetamol, say half an hour prior to the mammogram. That may help.
Yes.
The other thing is also to not schedule the mammogram like within the first week of the menses, right? Because usually the first week of the menses, many ladies complain that the breast is a little bit more tender and sometimes a bit swollen as well. So during that time, when you apply compression, then that can become a little bit more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So we try to avoid that period of time.
That's really good advice. And actually, I didn't realize that that's good advice to say, like, don't do this in the period of your menses when your breasts are tender. That's a really good advice, actually.
Mm.
We spoke a little bit about, obviously, the challenges that women face on reconstruction. I come from the Netherlands. We are always kind of seen to be pretty tough. So I think when a lot of women have to make a decision on whether to have a mastectomy or to kind of continue, that the decision is very clear. They would have a mastectomy at all times, but I don't think a reconstruction is very how would I say it? It's something that is deeply personal. I think women that never had a reconstruction because they were like, this is now also part of my identity. Mm. When you look at Singapore in general, and particularly when this becomes almost like a family decision, what are you seeing? Is it like 50-50 or is it 90-10 of women that actually choose for reconstruction?
You're right. I mean, the option of reconstruction is deeply personal. And in fact, having an app like Reborn does not necessarily mean that after using Reborn, you should be having reconstruction. I mean, if you adopt reconstruction, it has been shown to have some long-term psychosocial benefits in addition to better cosmesis in terms of morale, you know, psychologically patients feel better as well. But having said that, you're absolutely right to say that a mastectomy without reconstruction is also an important decision. And we do have some patients who, after using the Reborn app, feels that, hey, you know, it is not as straightforward as what it seems. And there are many important possible risks and complications that they need to consider as well. But the important thing is making a very informed consent after knowing all the information and having adequate information and time to consider.
Yeah.
So we do have patients as well who use the app and then choose not to have reconstruction, which we also feel that is perfectly fine. And we totally respect that decision. So in Singapore, I would say the reconstruction rate is probably not very high, right? Maybe it's around 40 to 50% thereabouts. And we do have many patients as well who prefer not to have a reconstruction.
Yeah, because it's quite, as you rightfully pointed out, it's quite a big surgery. The idea of taking tissue from elsewhere or even fat from elsewhere and putting it on your chest, it's another wound that you have to tend to after already going through quite a traumatic experience, right?
Yeah, so absolutely, you are right. So for reconstruction, like you said, what we call autologous is what you describe, taking tissue from another part to donate to the chest wall. That will involve having an additional scar. So one quicker form of reconstruction and also not involving a donor site will be just to put in a silicone implant.
Yeah.
Right. And silicone implant, like what usually I share with my patients, is that even in women without breast cancer, like women who are looking for augmentation as well, this is the same silicone implant that's being used. So it's been around for a long time and it's been shown to be safe. So that is another option to consider as well.
Yeah. And whilst I agree with you that I'm pretty sure that if you do the implants, it's very safe. Obviously, there's been quite some controversy over the years about implants, right? About them leaking harmful material or being made of harmful material. So I do feel that also globally, there's been a bit of a change of perception with women about implants. Do you see that in Singapore as well or not really?
So I think some years ago, I mean, there was a kind of a report in the media of implant-associated lymphoma, right?
Yeah.
And so that has kind of raised alarm bells in women, in patients with implant. But thankfully, by and large, that complication is a very rare. So when I went for my overseas fellowship in the United Kingdom, I noticed that in the West, implants are quite well accepted. So I would say that in Asia, women here still maybe more of them may prefer to have probably something more natural than using their own body tissue to reconstruct. But that may boil down to difference in terms of culture and acceptance.
Yeah, and I guess also a preference in terms of size and density. I mean, there's definitely a lot of cultural differences there as well, which we could do a whole episode on. But coming back to Reborn, so incredible that you are bringing this innovation to support women that need it. And on the other hand, also supporting the doctors in kind of the time that they can spend on supporting the patients through this journey. Where do you see Reborn going from here?
So thanks for the question. I'm actually kind of working now with my academic partners as well as industry partner. We are hoping to expand Reborn. So the scope of Reborn now, it's limited now more to the perioperative phase when it comes to surgical options. So we are also looking to expand it into the other phases of the breast cancer journey to help patients better understand and also visualize what is ahead of them. Because one thing that I noticed that is very distressing for patients is that this diagnosis and this condition brings about a lot of anxiety, which is totally understandable, right? Because, you know, surgery is just a small part of the entire treatment package. So you still have other important, what we call adjuvant treatment, like that of radiotherapy, chemotherapy, you know, hormonal therapy. And sometimes when I see patients after the diagnosis is given and telling them about surgery, they are very concerned about the other aspects of the other therapies in addition to surgery. And often there's so much to consider, and without kind of proper education and also advice and just leaving patients to go online to search some of this information, which there are actually sometimes misinformation out there that can bring about even more anxiety or confusion to patients. So I do hope to expand Reborn to build upon it and hopefully build this platform where the information in it is reliable, is trusted, and also curated by professionals so that it can help women who unfortunately diagnosed with this condition, but at least help them to better prepare them and also to walk off the breast cancer journey with them.
Yeah, I can totally relate. I have a very good friend here in Hong Kong who was very surprisingly diagnosed with a very aggressive stage 4 breast cancer. And the first thing you notice is obviously the personal experience of, oh my God, I might die, or this is the end of the world. But then the complete panic of, where do I go? You know, because one friend says, oh, I know this doctor, and then I know this doctor, and this person says you need to do this. So even that is completely overwhelming. I think providing that information to just give them step by step, like, this is what you can do, this is where you can find it, this is where you can go for help, I think would be very, very valuable. And now my mind is going a little bit in overdrive, but then I'm thinking, how amazing would it be if you can actually, at one point in time, also upload your mammograms into the app, so that you kind of keep your breast health all in one space. So that's where your mammogram goes. And if you have nothing, then, you know, you don't ever go further in the app. But if you do, then all your files and your x-rays are there as well. I don't know, in Hong Kong, we just take them home. So then you put your x-ray somewhere and then you never look them up anymore. But that would be amazing as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, for later thought.
Absolutely. You know, there's so much potential with digital innovations. But of course, the challenge often is the PDPA concerns and making sure that this digital platform is secure when it comes to personal information. But you're right. The possibilities are endless, and the kind of convenience as well.
Yeah.
And also having some of this information with the help of AI, you know, it may even be able to then give you some personalized recommendation. I mean, the example that you shared of your friend in Hong Kong, I personally also have many experience with some of my patients. I mean, some of them come at a later stage, but even in those patients that are diagnosed with earlier stage of breast cancer, the kind of anxiety and sometimes uncertainty that it creates, it is very real, right? So surgery, you know, they can handle surgery, but when it comes to, say, follow-up, the thought of going for their follow-up mammogram once a year, that creates a lot of anxiety. So I have a patient that just told me she couldn't sleep for 2 days prior to seeing me because she was waiting for the mammogram report. And she told me to give her a bit of rest, medical cert to cover her so she can recuperate from this mental anxiety and anguish. So I think that there's really something very, very real there. And I believe that some of these digital innovations, we are able to maybe target this aspect of mental health in this group of patients and basically help patients better cope with some of these emotions and feelings of anxiety that they have in this journey.
Amazing. Are you eventually going to give up your day job?
Well, I've trained many years to acquire the skills. So I always tell my friends and even my bosses to reassure them that my first love is still breast surgery. But of course, there are limitations on what the surgeon and the scalpel can achieve, right? So with the scalpel, I can get rid of cancer. But there's so much more to just surgery that I'm hoping to use innovation in my practice and to augment my ability to help patients. So the short answer is, I don't think I will give up my day job. I'm definitely still very passionate about using technology to help in these other areas, which I shared earlier, that I feel are equally important for a patient undergoing this breast cancer journey.
Well, I speak on behalf of all women globally, Clement. Thank you so much for everything that you do. The Reborn app is really an incredible innovation, is so much needed, but also so thoughtfully designed and brought to patients. So thank you so much. It's been really inspiring to hear your story, and I'm extremely inspired by everything that you do. And I wish you all the best of luck on your journey. And it was a real pleasure to talk to you today on my podcast.
Thank you very much, Mikey, for having me here as well. Yeah, it's my pleasure to be here. And I'm looking forward to contribute more to this space as well in the future. So thanks.
Amazing. Just to close it off, if you enjoyed today's episode with Dr. Cha, please like and share this episode so that more people can benefit from this amazing, inspiring breast surgeon, doctor, and Femtech founder. And please make sure that voices like his get heard around the world. Thank you so much.